Again, I'm having hot flesh.
Answered prayer.
She is mean.
All things are possible.
Okay. Let's open the Bible to... Are you still going?
Listen, you can't have a hot flash and let it go that quick.
How do you know? Now I forgot. Jude, okay. Jude. Verse 8, not chapter 8. If you found Jude chapter 8, you're in the wrong book. How many of you guys had a problem with the mouth, the things we said, and thinking that I wish I didn't say it?
Never.
And you never had a problem?
I can believe that.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I misunderstood the question.
We're also in the Twilight Zone.
And, you know, just like get it back, is there any way I can get it back? And then somehow we realize it's too late. I think we talked about this rather in depth about in the study of James about gossip and the things we shouldn't say, shouldn't have said, but we did, and just regretting. That's, you know, that's just between humans, so that's somewhat... I'm not saying it's excusable, but in a way, it's not as bad as the between human and another different spiritual being. That's what we're going to talk about. And when we go against the authority, the God-given authority, we all of a sudden we realize we're getting into trouble. It is not unusual for those who are not spiritual trying to be spiritual in the presence of somebody who is a spiritual. And they say things that is completely out of context, completely biblical things, such as somebody said, well, how many of you guys heard it? Well, Bible says heaven help those who help themselves. How many of you guys heard that story? Heaven help those who help themselves. Is it in the Bible? Which chapter? Which book? Is it? Second Opinion, chapter 5, verse 7? Is
Jude
it
chapter 8.
Jude chapter 8. Oh, yeah. Jude chapter 8. Correct. Heaven does not help those who help themselves. As a matter of fact, heaven preferred those who cannot help themselves. And you rather come to God and then saying that, God, I cannot do this. I need your help. As our money says, in God we trust. We rather depend on God. Some people say, well, you have a religion, you have a Christianity as a crutch. No, I don't have a Christianity as a crutch. That's my stretcher. I want God to carry me. I don't want to walk. I want him to carry me, because when I start to walk around, I go my own direction, not God's direction. How many times I ran ahead and he had to yank me back, and I get the big gouge on my mouth and because he yanked me back. We tend to run ahead. This is another problem we have with this. And I don't want to go through this thing in the building project. Yes, I'm asking Jim to get into that building project, and so we can see if we can do it. But at this point, I'm not doing anything other than just testing the water. In other words, we can say the fleecing. You know what the meaning of the fleecing is? You, like a Gideon did, throw the fleece out and asking God to see if this is what you want us to know. Some people come up with their own doctrine. As a matter of fact, in a lot of religions, they have their own doctrines. And majority of American people think this: if I'm a good person, I will go to heaven. That's a new doctrine they have. Not a new doctrine, that's a typical doctrine they have. So, what does the Bible says about that kind of doctrine? Let's go to stick your finger in Jude chapter 8, okay, not chapter 8, verse 8. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1, please. Galatians chapter 1. If you have the same kind of Bible like I do, it will be page 1968. No, make it 69. Verse 8. But even if I'll wait for a few moments, a couple more seconds. 1969. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Some of your versions said that let him be eternally condemned. That's a strong word. And it goes on, as we have said before, now I say it again, if anyone preach any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. If one is not enough, Apostle Paul, back to back, he emphasized this portion. In other words, there's no other gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we all agreeing? Those who's agreeing, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Yo, that's good enough. Yo is good. He's southern, so that he can say yo. Yeah, New York is southern enough. Yeah, South Bronx, that's cool. Okay. So, this is a great weapon against those who come to your home Saturday in the morning, and those who come to you with a bicycle and a white shirt and a helmet and a backpack. If they present any other gospel, don't try to, unless you know their Bible, Mormon Bible or Jehovah's Witness Bible very well, do not use their Bible. Because their Bible is changed. It's not Bible at all. Always. The Jehovah's Witness Bible is a New World Translation. You know right away. Always use the Bible, Holy Bible. Preferably New King James. I don't know which Bible you are using. If you're using King James, fine. Whichever Bible you're using, use it. Use Holy Bible to confront them. And what is the gospel? Jesus died for our sin and rose again sitting in the right hand of the Father. He's the God himself. That's the gospel. Jesus died for us. There's no other way. So keep in mind, any other gospel, any other spiritual doctrine is nothing but a false doctrine, nothing but a garbage. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 4, verse 1. This is the verse that I use several times, probably throughout our tea study, I will use many times. You okay, Jenny? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Chapter 4, verse 1 of 1 John. Let's go chapter 4, verse 1. And then let's go to one more verse, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. That would be 1961, page number. 2 Corinthians 11:14. This is another good thing, that especially against the New Age people. And no wonder Satan himself transformed himself into into an angel of light. How often, there was a popular book called Into the Light or something like that. It was a New York Times bestseller. And a lot of people, even Christians, thought, oh, it's a great book. In what sense? It tickled your heart? Or is it, but it's against the Word of God? Guess what? If it's against the Word of God, do this. Wrap that book like this toward the trash can from the downtown. Make a 3-point. That's about as far as you want to do it. Satan himself can disguise as angel of light. that means he can come in such a way to deceive many people, including Christians. So we need to be careful and we need to test everything. And if it's anything other than gospel of Jesus Christ, what do? Ignore it. And anyone who does that kind of thing, remind them Galatians 1:8. Okay? That is a weapon of yours against a cult, especially Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. Let's not be ugly to them. Let's not shut the door in front of their face, nor we should call them name. But let them realize, in love, let them realize they are deceived.
Is not Revelation 22:18?
Also that said that. That's right. That also says, but I'd like to remind all of you, especially Galatians 1:8, because Galatians talks about false doctrine a lot more than the Revelation. As down the road, we study, and as a matter of fact, we're going to touch the Galatians today and the last portion. And Galatians talks about a lot more the who once heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and they walked away. As you already know. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, our hearts open, our Bibles open. Teach us tonight. Let us learn from you, not just the word, but your truth, so that we may be equipped to understand your way. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a couple of general rules I like to go by. Okay? You might want to jot this down. A couple of general rules that I buy is, number one, Jesus talked about it. And the apostles taught about it. And we can believe. Okay? If Jesus talked about it and apostle taught about it, we can believe and we can go by it. Just because it mentioned in the Bible, that doesn't mean it's something we should do. There's a lot of things the Bible talks about, bad things, such as Judas hung himself or somebody killed somebody else in bad manner. So just because it's in the Bible, that doesn't mean we should do it. If Jesus talks about it, and the apostle teaches us, then do it. Second thing is, if it's new, you guys already know this, what I'm going with. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. Because Word of God teach us everything we need to know. If somebody tell you, I had this revelation from Jesus Christ himself. He showed up in the middle of the night in white, bright, radiant robe. And he came to me, he touched me with his pierced hand and so on. He took the special revelation other than the gospel of Jesus Christ and other than what it says in the Bible. Then you better think one more time and you better ask him, what did you have last night? Did you have a guacamole that didn't go with your stomach well? Ask him. And if they said no, it's something Jesus talking. Or the angel came up with a bright light. What did you just read in 2 Corinthians? Satan himself can disguise himself as an angel of the light. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new because it's already been revealed. That's a two general rule I go by. That's why I left at Holy Left Movement. You guys know the Holy Left Movement? You don't know? Yeah. this is one of those things that they, in the charismatic movement, the denomination got into it in a few years, about 5-6 years ago, something like that. Or it's been longer than that?
I don't think it's been that long.
I think so. It's been, yeah, it started at 5-6 years and then went on for a couple of years. The Pat Robertson got into it, and a lot of charismatic people got into it, and they thought it was movement of God, and they thought it was a revival from God. The idea was the guy, some, I cannot remember his name. Huh? Yeah, some brown guy. And also Vineyard was into it. Vineyard came out from Calvary Chapel. They're more into the charismatic and Holy Spirit gift, all of that stuff. Anyway, they got into the Holy Laughter movement and came and gone. And if you put that thing against the Word of God, it doesn't survive. The guy who studies, the Bible says, be drunken with the Holy, drunken in the Holy Spirit. To be exact, do not be drunk, Bible says, do not be drunk in this wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It does not say drunk in the Holy Spirit. So he called himself the Holy Spirit bartender. So he acts like a drunken person, and there are people who got drunk when the Holy Spirit, they pretending they're urinating to the monitor on top of the stage in the podium, near the podium, or they bark and cry, moan, and doing all this animal act. Yeah, and all the another thing going on is the laughing. And God is a God of what? Order, not disorder. So that kind of thing cannot, would not be allowed in our church. Because God, while he's speaking to you guys and through me, while I'm teaching, somebody will not stand up in the middle of the Holy Spirit's anointing. He will not stop his own anointing and start to interrupt and start to coming up with their own thing. So that kind of thing will not be accepted. If it's true, it's not new. If it's new, it's not true, because everything is revealed from the Word. Okay? That's the two general rules I would like to go by. Verse 8 of Jude. That's what Jude. Yeah, Jude, the Word of God. Huh?
You're eating the Word.
Yeah, I'm chewing the Word. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority. Defile the flesh, that's one. Reject authority, number two, and speak evil of dignitaries. Okay, we know these three things: the defiled the flesh, and reject authority, and speak evil things. Likewise, what's a likewise? Who are these dreamers? To do that, we must go back to verse 6. And angels who did not keep their proper domain and left their own adobe, he has reserved an everlasting chain under the darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. In other words, homosexuality are condemned. The sin itself, the people who practice those things without repentance, are condemned because of God's law. These are the people who are the dreamers, defile their flesh. What do I mean? And also another thing is, go by that we can see is reject authority. What authority? It's a God-given authority. When people practice homosexuality, is it what? In God's sight, is it detestable? In other words, he hates it with a passion, the practice itself. Does he hate people? No. But he hates the sin. And when the people's men go after men, woman go after woman, they are defying, literally defying the authority of God. What am I talking about? God created man and woman, not man and man, woman and woman. So in other words, they are ignoring God's order and saying, I don't need you, God. I will do my way. And this is defiling. This is rejecting the authority of God. And then speak evil of this dignitary. You know, when you look at it like this, it sounds like a defiling flesh and rejecting the authority and speak evil of dignitary. It sounds like, you know, is he talking about government dignitary or government authority? No, it's not. As a matter of fact, it has nothing to do with the government. It has everything to do with the spiritual being. How do we know? We just read, remember, whenever we read the Bible, what is the most important thing? Context, context, context. So when we read verse 8, we have to look at the verse 6, 7, and 9, and 10. Am I making sense to you? It has to be in context. It's not just separate entity. So we just read here, this speak evil of dignitary. Then who is this dignitary? Some of you have okay, anybody has other than King James, New King James? Anyone has a King James? Regular King James? What does it say?
Dignities.
Dignities. Okay, anyone else, anybody else has a different version? Authority, okay. And who else has a different version? Everybody has a New King James?
I have and reject authority.
Which version is that?
New American Standard.
New American Standard. When you look at NIV, it says slanderous celestial being. In my opinion, that is a better translation. Instead of dignitary, slandering, the speak evil is the same thing as a slander. The instead of dignitary, it says celestial beings. Why? Because we talked about the in verse 6, talked about angels, and verse 9, talking about all of a sudden, it continued. Yet Michael, the archangel, is contending with the devil, Lucifer, bless you. And then he disputed about the body of Moses. He's talking about angels. Who are the celestial beings? They are angels. So they are slandering, these people are slandering against who? Angels. And not only they are I'm not talking about demonic angels, I'm talking about good, righteous angels. They are going against the angels. In God's authority, according to Hebrews, according to Philippians, remember Jesus made himself little lower than what? Angels. So in other words, God, angels, and human, that's a spiritual order. We are not as powerful as the spiritual being of the angels. Someday, when we have a glorified body, we will surpass their being, and they will serve us. But at this point, we are under the category of angels. So, have a question? Stop me if you have a question, okay? Please. These dreamers, in this case, are the false teachers and the people who are following and practicing the homosexuality and so on, and they teach the grace of God as a license for the immorality. They can telling other people, you can do whatever you want to do, because remember, we started with the agnostic attitude. Your body is separate from the spirit, so spirit can go to heaven. Meanwhile, your body can do whatever you want to do. Remember that? Yes? No? Uh-huh. You with me so far? They are rejecting God's authority, and you know, how many of you guys saw the bumper sticker that says "Challenge the authority"? That's not something new. That's not started from the hippie, 1960s or 70s. That's been going on all from the day one in the Garden of Eden. They challenge the authority of God. In the dark days of Israel. This will pretty much describe America. Let's go to Judges chapter 21. Judges chapter 21, which is the last chapter. Judges is right before Ruth. Thank you. There's a Bible scholar. Judges chapter 21. verse 25. That would be my Bible, page 440. Verse 25. See if this is not the portrait of America. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. How about we switch that word Israel to, in those days, there was no king in America, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Pretty much fits it, doesn't it? This is scary. We're trying to do our own way against God's way. Yeah. As a matter of fact, and they're encouraging, even though they know evolution is nothing but the theory, they teach it as fact. It's not an evolution theory, it's an evolution fact. And they tell their ancestors the animal, and when the kids acting like an animal, they wonder why.
You know the satanic Bible? Mm-hmm. The oath?
Say it again.
Do what thy wilt is the whole of the law. In other words, it feels good, do it. Yep. That's the satanic Bible. I've read it.
Some people can handle it, some people cannot handle it. So
I'll tell you why later.
Now we got one.
All right, let's get back to the study. God loves childlike faith. God loves childlike faith, but God hates childish attitude. We need to grow up. We cannot stay where we were and stay that way. It's okay for us to stay as immature children of God for a while. God does not expect anything more than that. But once we stay there, then we do have a problem. Verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, he dare not bring against him the reviled accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." This is the reason why I said this. The dignitary should be mostly translated celestial being, the angels, because it's talking about angels continuously. How many of you guys heard the word apocrypha, to be exact? Jewish apocrypha, A-P-O-C-R-Y-P-H-A, apocrypha. Apocrypha. Sorry, you know, Korean pronunciation. This is one of those writing and the books mentioned in Hebrew writings that's not included in our book, Canon 66 book. Apocrypha is still sometimes you will be able to find in Latin Vulgate, Latin version of Bible, or Roman Catholic Bible, or Orthodox Bible. What are these? Is some of them using as a devotional book? Is it all wrong? No. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Bible. This is the one point. Verse 9 came from the book of the Assumption. Moses. This is for the verse 9. Another book that it will be mentioned in this apocryphal book is the book of Enoch. You will find in verse 14 we are going to study. Are they true? Obviously true. That's why it's in the Bible. How do I know? Really don't. All I know is the Bible is inerrant, infallible. This is the extra biblical fact that we get from the Jude. And the Hebrew people are very familiar with the apocryphal book of the Assumption of Moses and the book of Enoch. What are they talking about? That's verse 9, the chapter, Michael the archangel is contending with against Lucifer regarding the body of Moses. Okay. Why are they fighting over the body of Moses? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Verse 5 and 6. That's almost the end. In my Bible, it will be 348 page number. Verse 5 of chapter 34. So the Moses, servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley. Who is he? God, capital H, God. He buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite of Beth Peor. But get this, no one knows his grave to this day. Why? Why? Very good. Already, Moses is considered as a spokesperson of God among the Hebrews. And if you notice in the, where we are studying Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, they said, we are the children of Abraham, we are children of Moses. To them, connecting with Moses is so important. They're practically was identification of God to Hebrew people. If the, can you imagine if the Hebrew people found the body of Moses, they will worship that body. But that's why God, the Lord, buried it, nobody knew about it. Remember there's a Hebrew people, while they're wandering around, they reject God again, like we do often. So they were dying left and right, and all this came along, beat them, and they're dying because of poison. And they cried out to Moses. Moses prayed for them, and God said, make a bronze serpent on the staff, going around like this. You know, stick like a serpent going around like this. And if you look at that thing, if you look at that, you will be healed. Jesus used that portion as one of the, in the gospel, book of John. I forgot what they call it.
Caduceus.
Caduceus, yeah. It's a medical symbol. Stick in the snake goes on both sides, being healed. No. This is just symbols God said that you look at it. By faith, you when you look at it, trusting that God's going to heal them, you will be healed. Guess what they did? After 40 years, they carried that stooping and they stick it in the place, in the high place, and to worship this stick, bronze stick. You will worship just about anything other than. Don't look at me, you won't. We will. That's why when the Christian leader fall, the people are devastated because they start to worship that person. Don't ever put me in that position. And you're thinking, don't worry, you're not that good. I know. She's thinking about that thing.
Well, you're prophesying.
Woo! Did these people see, we read verse 8, they tend to talk about these defilers, dreamers going against the word of God, and at the same time, they're slandering celestial beings, angels. So, and not only that, we carry this in the Christian realm too. How many of you guys heard in some of the denomination, devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, you heard that kind of thing? I've done that, been there, done that, all of that stuff. Did I know any biblical founder to do that? No. Well, those spiritual guys did that, so it must be a good thing to do it. So I used to do that. God graciously taught me and come out of that ignorance. The verse they often use is Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Look to Matthew 18:18. Don't you just love when we go through the Bible like this, back and forth, back and forth?
I do, though.
Huh?
I'm better.
Cool. Within 2 months, you're going to just flip and go, right?
No. We're praying.
That will be chapter 18, verse 18, and then 6, 7. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you lose on earth will lose in heaven. Any other disagreement or anything? So it's like what they're saying is true. Is it? When we read the Bible, what is important?
Okay.
Context. Let's read a few verses ahead. Let's start at verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him he's between you and him alone. He hears you and you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear and take with you one or two more, and by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and tax collector. In other words, this is talking about forgiveness. Let's put it this way. Listen carefully, please. Let's say he did something that I didn't like. Okay? Everybody does that kind of thing, but let's say he did something that I don't like. If I don't forgive him, he'll be forgiven in heaven. If I forgive him, he'll be forgiven in heaven. Am I making sense to you? When you read this in context, bind and loosen is one of those words you will find very frequently in Hebrew vocabulary. What do I mean? In a contract, they sell and buy the contract of the land, the deed, they say, I bind and loose. They don't say, I buy it, I sell it. When they sign this contract or whatever they do, and when I purchase it, I loosen the contract. Now, to other person, it's a binding contract. So this is a different meaning. It's not literally loosening some authority over the devil. If that's the case, if they are right, the charismatic peoples are right, I mean, I can bind all these devils and throw them in the abyss. Why don't we just do that? Actually, when we do that, it's nothing more than hot air from our mouths. It might be comforting, but guess what? Devil is laughing their head. Because as long as you believe that, I can do what I want to do. You follow me? You get it? Jenny, you're not getting it? You with me? You know? So some people tend to say, I bind you, devil, I bind you, no Jesus. First of all, we are not that important for the devil to come around our side to harass us. Maybe it's a demon from little imp, and they harass us. Binding authority, can we ask God to bind the devils, bind the demonic for the name of Jesus? Yes, we can ask him. Would he do it? That's up to him. We can ask him. We can ask God to rebuke the demonic force while we're preparing for this outing. Yes, we can do that. We can ask. That's why Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. He's using the authority of God. He's not battling against, he's not mocking, he's not slandering, he's not doing anything against even the Lucifer, but he was using God's authority to fight against the devil. That's what we should do. Example. Listen. When in chapter 15, I believe, in 1 Samuel, we find that David went toward Goliath. Who was fighting the battle? Who was fighting the battle? God. Did David slung the rock to Goliath? Let's put this principle in our head. Without God, We cannot. Without us, God will not. Get it? Without God, we cannot. We don't have the strength to do anything. But without us, God will not. Let's remember that principle. Without God, we cannot. But without us, God will not. We don't have a focused idea of what's happening in the spiritual realm. We tend to talk about it. Especially medical people, they tend to come up with one story after another. And they try to top each other's with their own experience or their own stories. And become all of a sudden doctrine. If it's with the Bible with the Word of God, take it. If not, don't take it. Verse 10. But these take evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know surely, like a brood beast, in these things corrupt themselves. One of the characteristics of the apostate is irrelevant reviling of whatever they don't know and they don't understand. They live by sight, not by faith. We are supposed to live by faith, not by sight. They do it the other way around. They want everything done according to their own animalistic instinct. One of the biggest example is Robert Tilton. How many of you know the Robert Tilton? He's such a character. You guys know the Robert Tilton? Ever heard of him?
Yeah.
He was one of those televangelists or TV preacher, whatever you want to call it. He literally begged for money for the ministry to go on. He said, God needs your money. So the little old lady sent him a social security check. And then he bought his and her Mercedes, condominiums, and the waterfront condominium, millions of dollars. And he got caught by the security. And another thing that turned up was he used to have a bag under his eyes. And he make himself look young, and he had plastic surgery and got rid of it. And his excuse was because he was crying with those letters like this so much, the ink seeped through the bag under his bag eyes, and so it was hanging down so badly with the toxin, so he had to get rid of it. No. Do you know what the worst part was?
People believed it.
People believed it, yes. And they sent more money to him, and after that, all that shenanigans was.
But didn't you get a prayer cloth or a little amid water?
Yes.
And that's Marilyn Hickey. He too? Anyway, the word was after that shenanigan was exposed, they still claimed they still sent the money to him. They still, he's still gone. Look to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And some of you guys are wondering, is he ever going to shut up and stop? No, I'm not done yet. 1 Peter chapter 6. Amen. 1 Timothy. Could you read my mind, guys?
My wife says that.
Is it unbiblical?
Yeah, it says nobody knows the mind man, but the spirit of that man, God.
Very good. Son. He's a scholar. Oh, man. Chapter 6, verse 3. Timothy 20:49. That's a page number. If anyone teaches otherwise, does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine which accords with the godliness. He is proud, knowing what? Nothing, but is obsessed with a dispute and argument over words, from which comes envy, strife, reviling, and evil suspicion, and useless wrangling of the man corrupt mind, dispute of the truth, who suppose godliness is a means of gain. Here's a from such withdraw yourself. And those people never teach next line. This guy. Now godliness with the contentment is great gain. And you might want to mark their cross reference verse as Proverbs 3:8-9. Look at it later. update, consider themselves the captain of their own destiny. And therefore, they aside the restraint from the word of God, and they do whatever they want to do, anytime they want, and however they want. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 6. That's last verse. Galatians chapter 6. That would be 1779. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sow, he will also reap. For he who sow into his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sow to the Spirit will of God, will of the Spirit reap the lasting life. And that pretty much says everything. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. We sow, that we will reap. And someone has heard that whatever you sow in the wind, you will reap in all wind. Let's come up with the three applications. Number one, when we sin against God, we are directly defying and challenging the authority. That's why God hates sin, because we are challenging his authority. Sin translates as pride against God. God will not wink at it. God will not just ignore it. God will deal with us. If we continue, God has a special woodshed for us. Don't want to go there. I've been there so many times. I kind of walk the frame, door frame. You don't want to do that?
That's right.
Yeah, that's where I am. Second application. Yeah, I have my own panel with my name on. Second application, we must practice what we learn from the Word of God. You might say, duh, do we do it? No. So it wouldn't do for us to write it down and try to stick it in our heart. Let's do what we learn. Don't let it be just another line on the notepad, just another knowledge on your Bible belt, but let it be something we practice. Third option. Let's remember the sowing and the reaping principle. Whatever we sow, that we will harvest. But it's good or bad. We sow in the corruption, we'll reap from the corruption. We sow in the spirit, we'll reap from the spirit of God. Very simple, basic principle. How long? What does it take for us to learn that? Don't know. I'm in the same problem as you guys. So, okay, any questions?
So a few minutes ago, when you're not worshiping man or worshiping a pastor, it's so easy to think, I would never do that. But it's a fine line between worship and where loyalty
respect,
and commitment is.
That's fine.
Been there, done that. It's so easy to